and stuff and had sat at my desk for a while. And so when I got up, stood up to go downstairs to go to the boys' room, I noticed that I was just stiff, you know, and I turned right downstairs to go through Gray Hall, and I heard something pop, like, behind my knee, sort of in my calf area. And I realized that I had, I thought, uh-oh. And so I either, strained a muscle or a ligament. I've had that happen once before on this side when I was doing my spinner bike. And so it's much better tonight. But for the first time when we actually had a Maundy Thursday, I'm not going to try to wash feet because I'm just not going to. And because when it hurts, it hurts. And right now it's doing pretty good. And that's why I'm going to sit and share so that I'll be in. And actually, I might be getting healed, so supernaturally. But we're going to not test the Lord our God. And it feels like I was asking Bracken some of these questions before. You know, I know that when Eustace in the Chronicles of Narnia shed the dragon skin, that was about repentance, new creation. But I think it also is a picture of, as we shed the dragon skin of this earth suit and we come into the full measure of who we are as new creations and we see him face to face, that I think that's partly it, you know? Like, I turn 70 next year and I feel really good and there are things to do, but I think there's an element of part of this kind of thing that it's like you're sort of shedding the dragon skin as you're being swallowed up by life. It's sort of a slow process. It looks real dramatic there at the end, but actually it's been going on for a little while. So, but that's exciting to me, I think. And the reason I took off the chasuble is because it was really warm in here. So I think I just misplaced my stole, didn't I? Also shedding my robe and my thank you, George. Y'all don't want me to look bad on live stream, do you? So Aaron, you want to pray for us? Amen. So I'm going to share a couple of things that I shared today at noon. Also, if you've read the devotional, I shared some today in the article that I wrote. Normally on Maundy Thursday, the preacher will either preach about the washing of feet or the Eucharist, the inauguration of the Eucharistic meal. I'm going to do one of those tonight, but from a little bit of different place. But something I shared today that I thought I read, I don't know who wrote it. I tried to look it up. I don't know who said it. And so if nobody would claim it, I'll claim it. But it's an awesome statement. Talked about God's plan for fallen mankind. And God's solution was always Jesus. And so the statement said, God planned that we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. That's a really remarkable statement. I don't know whoever thought that one up. In fallen pride, I wish I had thought that one up. But God's plan we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence. The more traditional type book that I'm writing, the title has always been, the content's still being worked on, but the title was worked out a long time ago. In Christ, : God's answer for broken humanity. And that's the truth. So having said those two statements, which we'll reference to in a few minutes, let me talk to you a little bit about the Eucharist. And I want you to see something tonight that maybe we don't normally think about, that I think is really important. Personally, what the Lord has really been ministering to me about this week, and by the way, this week actually starts on Sunday, of course, but Monday night, I had this amazing encounter with the Lord. And the consequences of it was, the Lord spoke some things, we had this amazing conversation, and that was a really amazing thing, but it wasn't just conversation, the result was kind of a all-night experience. And I thought about talking about that night, but I'm not. But that's how this week kind of started out. And Holy Week kind of started. But what I've been infatuated with and fascinated with this week is how Christians all over the world, no matter whether they're sacramental or liturgical people or not, this is Holy Week. They know about Good Friday. They might not really know much about Maundy Thursday, some of the other things. They know about Easter morning. They may not know about Easter season, all that kind of stuff. They know about Good Friday. They know about Easter morning. And for those of us who particularly sort of follow the liturgical calendar, which is this amazing way to worship God through time, stopping at certain points that remember the saving acts of Christ. And so I love the fact that we start with Lent, we walk through the whole 40 days, and then we come to this Holy Week, this Passion Week, that it just intensifies, like the Lenten season gets so intense, and it really starts to convert. It's more than just Lent now. It's like this, the week of, almost like the season of awestruck that begins with Palm Sunday. And with the goodness of God, the plan of God, the purposes of God, the redemption that's ours in Christ. And what's made me stunned all week long and sort of weepy all week long is that though most of the time I think people think of it externally, like we're walking with Jesus, we're following Jesus on the way of the cross, leading up to his crucifixion and his resurrection. But the truth is that because we have been woven into the fabric of his existence, let me share this scripture with you. This is from Ephesians chapter 1. And we're not going to spend a lot of time trying to explain all this, or it'll take too long. And we'll just throw it out there with the Holy Spirit, who said he'd lead us into all truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so what's really blown me away this week is that this is my history. His history is my history. And it's not just me following him to the cross and worshiping him that he died for me and worshiping him that he rose again for me, but I went to that cross. I was in him at the cross. It was my crucifixion. It was my burial. It was my resurrection. It was the transformation of my history in all human history. See, Paul said, for whom I was crucified to the world, and the world was crucified to me. When did that happen? At the cross. And the Eucharist is all about the cross. But I'm just blown away about that fact that I'm not just in awe and celebrating what he did. I was there. You know, the old hymnal the hymn, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Well, the fact is, yes, you were. You weren't there watching as a spectator. You were there as a crucified one in Christ. You were there on the cross, not just at the foot of the cross. That's a big deal. That's where your new creation began. That's where, in a real sense, in the Eustace sense, in C.S. Lewis sense, the dragon skin was removed, was at the cross. So let me just read some verses to you. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul's recount of what the Lord showed him by revelation. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying repeatedly, 'This cup is a new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Keep doing this until he comes. Now, people love to talk about, I love to talk about the word remembrance. It's the word anamnesis. When we think about remembering something, it's about an event that took place, and we have fond memories, or maybe not fond memories about it. But anamnesis literally is a time, space, eternal, like, interaction kind of reality. It's an eternal event. It's an event that took place in the past, but it's made present in now time. It's not repeated. It's just simply made present. Now, usually when people talk about how much they love the Eucharist, often they'll talk about they love the Eucharist, and I'll say, "Well, why do you love the Eucharist so much?" And I said, "Because his real presence is here. It's a mystery. I can't explain it, but his real presence is here." You know, it's kind of like, and that's hard to understand, but think about this. We were talking about this earlier today. Think about this reality. In the garden, there were two trees in the middle. So Adam and Eve were given choice, and that choice was in the middle of their existence. So man's free will, as in the very smack dab, that's a good southern word, smack dab middle of our walk with the Lord that we choose. Right? And the tree of life was represented a life that's lived continuously in utter dependence on God, living from God. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the temptation was, if you'll eat this, you'll become like God. It was a religious temptation. You can be godlike for God on your own, doing your best. And so Adam and Eve could have made the right choice even to the last second. I believe that, don't you? Or God wouldn't have put the two trees in the middle of the garden. In the middle of our walk with the Lord is that we have the freedom to love him with choices. And yet, it says in Romans 13:8 that Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. And so the question that I ask is this, is that I was asking myself, so does that mean if Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, that God had a contingency plan in case things went wrong in the garden? Because God wasn't really sure. But if God was sure, then why did he even give him a choice? What's the point? So God is so sovereign that we were found before we were lost. That's sovereign, right? Right? Every one of us were lost in Adam. When Adam sinned, we all sinned. But if Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, before we were lost in Adam, we were found in Christ. That's kind of like new mass. But if we had free choice, even to the last second, if Adam and Eve did, and yet Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world, it wasn't a contingency plan in case of what if. God knew, and yet they had a free choice to the end. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's like saying All right, which one is it? You know, I get charismatics thrill me. I love charismatics. They're so entertaining. I am one. Bug-eyed charismatics are just fun. But we want to figure everything out. Like, okay, do we have free will? It's all determined by our choices, or is God sovereign? Which one is it? It's got to be one or the other, because we as Westerners have got to have perfect systematic theology. Which one is it? Yes. They both collide. And they scream at us, quit trying to figure it all out. God's bigger than that. So this idea about Eucharist, people have a hard time because maybe Roman Catholics say it, but the Roman Catholics say Jesus sometimes too. That doesn't mean he's not real, right? But the past event, anamnesis made present. That's a mystery. So when we celebrate Eucharist, the original event is here. It's not being repeated, but it's made present to us. And what people get thrilled about is that the real presence of Jesus is here. But it's bigger than that. It's bigger than just the real presence being here. I mean, what real presence is being here? Well, Jesus, I understand that. But in what way? You hanging in there with me? It'll all make simple, mystical sense in a few minutes. That was a contradictory statement, wasn't it? This is from Galatians chapter 6. Verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, to follow Jewish tradition, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law of themselves, but they desire that you be circumcised, that they can boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world was crucified to me, I to the world, for neither circumcision or uncircumcision or anything but a new creation matters. So, did the new creation happen because of the crucifixion of Christ? Halfway. But the new creation was completed in the resurrection of Christ, right? So Paul often, when he talks about the cross, he's talking about the Christ event, both the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, okay? So what happens in every Eucharist is the real presence is here, but the real presence of the cross is here, the cross event. And therefore, both the crucified and risen Christ are here, and in the bread and the wine. You say, well, I have a real hard time believing that bread and wine becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. Do you have a hard time believing the tumor can disappear right before your eyes? I don't understand it. Theologians always end up in error when they start with somebody else's error, trying to find the truth. So when we talk about what's present in the Eucharist, we're talking about the cross. That event is made present. It's here. That event is here. It's not a memorial. It's here. It's charismatic. It's crazy charismatic. It's amazing. In John chapter 5, when they're doing the scroll and there's nobody worthy, that's when the scripture there, you know, worthy is the Lamb. And he's talking about human history and the fallenness of humanity that's written in this scroll. And he says, who can read this? And basically, who can rewrite this history? And finally, there's only one that can. And he's first identified as the Lamb slain. The Lamb slaughtered. And the language there is the Lamb who's always slaughtered. Who's always, if you see him, he's always slaughtered. But then they identify him in the same scripture as the Lion of Judah. Yet he's always the Lion of Judah. He's like, what? Now, don't think it through the lenses of your logical brain. How can that possibly be? But when John sees him, he's both the lamb slaughtered, he's both that and the Lion of Judah, who he said, who overcomes. It took the lamb slaughtered and the Lion of Judah who overcomes to undo our history, to change our story into his story. And so we should expect that at every Eucharist, that the Christ event, the cross is made present. Both the lamb slaughtered and the Lion of Judah are here among us. So we talk about the real presence. That's the real presence we're encountering. So Eucharist isn't just about crucifixion. That's the problem I have with in the Western church, and some of you may not know this, in the Western church, usually they require people to kneel during the part when we do the Eucharist because it's such a solemn thing in light of the crucifixion of Christ. I think it's a celebration. That's why the Eastern church doesn't let you kneel at all. The new creation didn't happen because Jesus was crucified. It happened because he was both the lamb slaughtered and the Lion of Judah who overcomes. He died for us so that risen from the dead, he could live in us, so he can transform us. So what is it I want us to see? Is that new? That's not new? Here's the thing. That's heavy too. That makes you hot. At every Eucharist, so connect this to some of the stuff I've said earlier. It's not just that he's there. What's important for you to understand is that you're there. I don't mean that you're here and you're going to be a part of that watching all this. No, you're there. It's where your history was changed. It's where the dragon's skin was taken off and the new you arose with Christ with fresh skin. C.S. Lewis talks about it as somebody coming up out of the depths of the ocean, like busting through the waters, like a new creation. They'd been buried deep in the depths of the ocean, and they came up celebrating. What makes me so wired about this week and what makes me so wired about tomorrow and then Easter morning is that I can't separate the two things, is that that's when my history changed, not because what Christ did for me, but because I was in Christ. And the old angry, depressed, or frustrated, or impatient, that old self died. The old man was put away. Let's not dummy that down. By stripes I was healed. I rose up as a new person. Here's the deal. Your birthday happened before the foundation of the world. We talk about our spiritual birthday. Here's the cool thing. Sunday morning on the 17th is the day when I surrendered my life to Christ at 23. It was the day before Easter. Now, I don't know if that's when I was born again or when I was 12 and prayed the Baptist Bar Mitzvah prayer. Oh, Jesus, please come into my life. I think maybe the 12 thing, but at 23 is when it all started. I started walking. But it was 25 when I discovered that I was in Christ, that my union with Christ. I mean, it's almost like you're getting born again every day. Oh, because it's an eternal thing. It's an amazing deal. But the truth is, we were all crucified with Christ, and it happened before the foundation of the world, because you were found before you were ever lost. That's God's new math. Now, and so Sunday we all celebrate our birthday, because that which he accomplished before the foundation of the world was incarnationally made manifest 2,000 years ago in a place called Calvary. But beginning tomorrow, like, there's this 3-day birthday celebration. It's not just about his history, it's my history. your history changed. All humanity changed. Paul said, I was crucified to the world. The world was crucified to me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ living in me. That all happened tomorrow. You were buried. You were in that grave. The old man was left behind. You came out of the grave, a new creation in Christ on Sunday. This is your history. You're not just walking this path during Holy Week in awe of what he did. You're walking this path in awe of what you've become, about your new birth, your new creation. And in every Eucharist, when you hold the bread, you drink the wine, you hold the body, you drink his blood. Aren't you glad it doesn't taste like body and blood? But you hold that in your hands and you look and you go, he's here. The slaughtered lamb is here. The Lion of Judah is here. And you go, I'm here. I'm a new creation because of here. I was here. That event is made present. And this is like, what's the biggest issue? Karen says, I never finished my sentences. That's true. And so here's the thing about what's the biggest issue every Christian deals with? Identity. I don't know who they are. If you don't know who you are, the enemy will just beat you up every day. And therefore, what's the Eucharist accomplished? Not just us worshiping him and celebrating that his presence is made real. The Eucharist is so significant because it's one of those things we do like every day. The early church did every day because it's God's way of hammering down. Don't you forget that it's not just the Lion of Judah, the slaughtered lamb is here. You are here. The old man that you keep wanting to get rid of was gotten rid of there. The new creation that you long to be, you are because of this. You were there. This is not just about him, it's about you in him. So that we'll get it inside of us. Because he knew that would be the biggest battle we would ever fight. Believing who we are as new creations in Christ. Because that's what he came to accomplish. Because God's plan all along was that we would be woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence and the life that he lives. That's what makes you you. That's what makes you a new self. And so we come tonight to remember the inauguration of Eucharist. Remember, this is about God wanting you to never forget, to nurture, to make it explode and grow inside of you what happened to you in this event made present. So you would know, and you'd never forget. Because that's what the enemy always tries to get you to not know, or do everything to make you forget. Because then you never walk out. It's amazing. Life and life more abundant that's ours in Christ. So Eucharist isn't just about him. Remember, it's about you. Because what happened to him happened to you. That was the whole point. He didn't just die for you. He died as you. He didn't just rise for you. He rose in union with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So Bracken, where's the...